You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
You know, one of the phrases that we've said for probably 30 years is, we are not coming together for church. We are the church coming together. And those are words that are going to carry new meaning for all of us, I think, during this time. Words that will ring in a slightly different way as we go through something that we've never gone through before. I have a 15, a 12-year-old, and an 8-year-old, and I keep telling them that this has never happened to me before. What we're experiencing has never happened in my life, and I'm old. And they say, yeah, you're old. This has never happened to you before. But this is new. But this is an opportunity, we really believe that this is an opportunity for the church to shine bright in a very dark time. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father." We want to be a light in any way that we can, whether through this live stream or just as individuals, as we call each other, as we encourage one another, as we speak across the driveway to our neighbors. We want to be a light to people everywhere. In Psalm chapter 119, Elaine Kesner was describing this. We were on a conference call yesterday, and she talked about this passage where it says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." And she talked about this idea that a lamp to guide my feet, how when it's so dark and you have a lamp and the only thing you can see is your feet, you can only see one foot in front of the next. Isn't that how we kind of feel right now? We have no idea what today holds. We have no idea what tomorrow holds. But we have the light of Jesus to light our path. A couple months ago, I was driving on Interstate 81, left Syracuse, headed through Watertown and trying to come home. And I hit what you probably thought I would hit a couple months ago during the dead of winter. I hit a whiteout. It was dark. There was no other cars viewable. And I don't know, it felt like an eternity where I'm driving along and the only thing I could see were those reflectors on each side. And my headlights would hit those reflectors and then there would be nothing. And then it would hit those reflectors and then it would be nothing. And it would hit those reflectors and then it would be nothing. And then another reflector would come up, and my heart was just going crazy. I was praying like I've never prayed before. Jesus, please, driving 20 miles an hour. I don't want to stop because I don't know if anybody's behind me. All I have is a light to guide my path. Well, we do have the light of Jesus to guide our path. He will lead us through. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet. Sometimes that's all we have. We're going to cling to it. Well, as a society, we are more connected than ever before in human history. In every other pandemic, in every other crisis, it's never been like this, where we can see, where we can flip on our phones and we can see how people are responding and acting and speaking from all over the world. It's really amazing, but it also can really depress us sometimes to read some of the things and to see the news. But we have an opportunity. And the question I want to ask you is, how can you harness this technology to your favor? We have phones, we have computers, we have iPads, some of us still have a landline. I don't personally have a landline telephone, but I know some of you do. I know that because when I go to your house, I see an answer machine over there and it says 99 plus messages that you haven't listened to. You don't actually use it, but you're still paying for it. Well, let's use our technology to reach out to each other. Phone calls, texts, messages, FaceTime, Zoom, Marco Polo. There's some great apps where we can use technology to speak hope and life to each other. I just encourage you to think of ways to do that. Stay connected, as Greg said a few minutes ago. We're going to be announcing sometime later today or sending out some links on Tuesdays and Fridays at 11 a.m. and at 7 p.m. We want to have a prayer gathering online through a technology called Zoom, where we can have 100 people log in at the same time and pray together. So if you If you want to get those links, make sure you sign up for our newsletter so we have your email. We'll send those links out to you shortly. We want to gather together in ways that we never have before. Amen? Forgetting to breathe up here. No one could have predicted this crisis. Yes, people predicted things like this, but really, did we see this coming? We feared it. We said, that'll never happen, and it happened. This will never happen, and it happened. Well, we are in a situation that I have never been in before. Life is filled with the unexpected. We know that. Life is filled with moments of incredible joy and moments of incredible sorrow. There are times when things are going well, when it seems like everything is going well, and there are times when it seems like everything is hitting the fan. And lately, it's kind of felt like the latter. It seems like everything is falling apart. But we want to be life and encouragement to one another. Every day, we need to reach out to each other. We need each other. Wherever you are right now, I want you to know that we are praying for you. Our staff is meeting together on these conference calls, and we're praying for you. We're trying to make as many phone calls as we can. But stay connected. Comment on the live stream, even if it's just to say hi. Because when I see your name, when you see somebody else's name, we get reminded of each other, and we're like, oh, and we can comment, we can pray for each other. Whatever it is, just comment, talk, reach out, text. It's so good to be able to do that. Do not face this alone. Find a way to connect with people. It doesn't make you weak to need people. It makes you human, and life really is better together. Well, I want to open up this morning to Joshua chapter 1. When I watched that video from Greg and Jess, I was a little upset because he stole my passage, but that's okay. Maybe it means that we're both listening to the same God, which we are. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it is hard to flip with one hand. Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything that you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you everywhere you go. You know, the book of Joshua is sometimes called by some the book of conquest. There are some amazing stories in the book of Joshua, and we think of Joshua as this epitome of strength and courage. But the book begins with God speaking to Joshua and telling him multiple times to be strong and courageous. When I think of Joshua, I think of someone who is inherently courageous, a symbol of strength. But in this opening narrative, God is trying to convince Joshua of something he isn't yet. He says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. This commandment, it's not really something he can do. It's not something that he can put into practice. It's rather a posture that Joshua is going to need. It's a posture that he's going to have to adapt to live the life that God created him to live. He's going to have to be strong and courageous to step into the future that he's being called to. He's going to have to be strong and courageous. It gives me hope to know that Joshua, at times at least, felt weak and afraid, or at least I assume he did. You know, how often have we felt nothing like Joshua? And in reality, we are just like Joshua. We all are just like Joshua and sometimes need to hear, be strong and courageous. At the beginning of the story, Joshua needed to find strength and courage. At the end of the story, Joshua is the definition of strength and courage. Let's look again at Joshua 1:1-2. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Isn't it like God to not skirt the issue, to just to dive right in? I love this about God. And in the book of John, Jesus is interacting with a woman there by a well, and he's talking to a woman, and he says to her, in John chapter 4:16, he says, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. And the woman replied, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you're right, you don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with. You certainly spoke the truth. Whoa, Jesus. Like, he just went right to the issue. He does not skirt around it. He sees what is going on. He knows where we're at. He's not afraid to talk about what is current in your life. Back in Genesis chapter 3, the story of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, they eat from the tree. They disobey what God said. It says that they felt naked and ashamed. They covered themselves. And in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 3, it says, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. God says, who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? How many times do I walk in my house and I see something that my kids have done? I'll see a wrapper on the floor and I'll try to skirt around the question and try to get them to admit it without going straight. Did you get into the cookie jar? Did you get into the candy jar? God goes straight to the issue. He's not afraid to talk about the real problem. He's not afraid to address what is happening in our life. God goes straight to the heart of Joshua's fear. Joshua had lived with Moses his entire life. He was his right-hand man. Moses was the one who climbed the mountain of God. Moses was the one who held the staff. Moses was the one who split the Red Sea, who spoke and the Red Sea parted. Moses is the one who confronted Pharaoh. But now Moses is dead. And there comes a time in our lives, just like Joshua, and we have to decide where we are going to stand. This was Joshua's moment. His whole world is turned upside down. The person who inspired strength and confidence in him is gone. All these people are ready to go, and they need to do it together. Joshua 1:3, verse 3 says, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I have given you. You know, we emphasize this passage when we're taking our Momentum students to D.C. We're walking the halls of the Capitol. We go into Senator Schumer's office. When we're going into the White House, we tell our students, wherever we set our foot, we are bringing the kingdom of God with us. This is our land. And it's not, I don't believe it's a statement of arrogance. It's more of a recognition of who is on the throne, that God is on the throne, that he is in control, that death has been defeated, that even though we don't experience that in its fullness, we walk that out wherever we go, whatever situation we're in. You know, every day this week, the world seemed to change. New restrictions, new statistics, new reports, new closures. Everything that we rely on has shifted. The ground beneath our feet has shifted in ways that we never anticipated. And the first posture that some of us take is to be afraid. But God wants to speak into your soul right now. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Whatever you are facing right now, God wants to speak to you. Be strong and courageous. When God spoke to Joshua, all Joshua could see was what he was not, but God could see what Joshua was going to become. God knows where we are going to end up. He knows where we're at. He knows what we need, and he will bring us to a better day. We will make it through this moment. Let's go to verse 7 and 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. You are going to need courage, but that courage needs to be informed by wisdom. And I think that's what God is saying to Joshua, that Moses has left Joshua some incredible wisdom. Even as Greg said in the video earlier, how Jesus says he summed all of the law and the prophets down to love God and love neighbor. Even then, Jesus was quoting from the writings of Moses. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That wisdom has been imparted to Joshua, has been imparted to the Israelites, has been imparted to the people, and they're going to need it to define their courage, to define them as they move forward. In Philippians, Paul is writing to a church, and he says, chapter 4, verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And dropping down, it says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Verse 9, keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. That is the promise of the scriptures, the promise that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, and the promise that we can claim for ourselves now, that as we pray, God's peace will be with you. We can choose to be anxious, or we can choose to pray and receive peace. If we step back, we take a deep breath and remind ourselves that God can be trusted. This moment isn't a surprise to God. This moment is not overwhelming to God. We can feel powerless when things happen in life that are outside of our control. And really, how often do we really have control? Right now, we're being confronted by our inability to control what is happening around us. But really, that's just life. Take control over what you can control. Take control over yourself and over your reactions and over your mind. Speak life, speak hope. Read these scriptures. Finish off with verse 9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's almost like God is speaking to Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous. But then Joshua's like, oh, I wasn't strong, or I don't have the courage. And he's saying, don't be discouraged. When you feel overwhelmed, don't be discouraged. When you feel like you haven't responded in the way that you should have, don't be discouraged. When you make wrong choices along the way, don't be discouraged, but be strong and courageous. As I said to start, we are the church coming together in ways that I didn't think would ever happen. We are the church coming together. The church is an essential assembly. Together, we need to be dispensers of hope. As it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Be light in this moment. Be a voice of hope in this moment. Make sure you're okay. If you have a need, if you need somebody to pray with you, if you need a roll of toilet paper, whatever it is, reach out. Make sure that you are okay. Make sure that you have the food that you need. Make sure that you are okay. Reach out to us. Call us. Reach out to each other. We've been passing out our email addresses and our phone numbers, and we'll continue to do so. Make sure you're okay. But once you know that you are okay, reach out to someone else and make sure that they are okay. if somebody's name pops into your mind, if you read somebody's name and it seems random, it's not random. Call them, FaceTime them, message them. Let's be strength and hope to one another. Let's encourage each other. Let's say, be strong and courageous. We are going to make it through this. It's going to be rough. People are going to get sick. Some people are going to die. But we will make it through this. It will be a brighter tomorrow. I believe the church is going to emerge from this stronger than we were when we went in. Even right now, there's more people being reached that can even fit in this room. We want the church, not New Testament church, not NTC Messina. We want the kingdom of God to be extended for people to know hope, to know life. We're planning some ways to help our community. There are services that will continue to happen throughout. I know Meals on Wheels, I deliver Meals on Wheels every Friday, and they have some people that they're lacking some volunteers right now, and so I'm going to be delivering more and more of that. But there are ways that we can help each other. Do it safely, do it wisely, do it with all the recommendations, but let's be hope to one another. I just want to pray for us. Jesus, we lift you up in every home right now. God, we receive your peace. We receive what you have to say. Let us not be discouraged, but God, let us find courage and hope to be strong and courageous as we lift each other up, as we encourage one another, as we speak life and hope. God, I pray that everybody feels your presence right where they're at right now. For those of us who have confessed you as Lord and Savior over our life, we just receive again your presence. And for anybody that's listening to this, that's never confessed their sins before you, that's never received the gift that you have, God, we can do that right now. Every single one of us can do that right now. We can welcome you in ways that we never have before. We can know what it's like to be free, to be forgiven, and to extend that forgiveness, that freedom, that life to others. God, we just thank you for who you are. We receive these words that you spoke to Joshua so many thousands of years ago, to be strong and courageous, that we will emerge from this better. Receive peace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back again next week. Kids, 10 o'clock, and our service at 11. But just encourage one another. Thank you so much. Be blessed. Amen.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.